The season of Advent is all about anticipation. The season of Christmas is all about awe. The wonderful season of Epiphany is about revelation. And so we have a number of weeks coming up where we can just soak in the revelation of God and the supreme revelation of Jesus Christ and who He is. So let's settle back and get ready to enjoy Epiphany. And we're going to start by considering, who is this man? Which was the question upon people's hearts and lips in the day of Jesus Christ. Who is this man who comes from Galilee? Baptized in the Jordan, now he preaches by the sea. They say the sick are healed, the blind are made to see. Who, tell me, who is this man? Who is this man they call the chosen one? I've heard the people talking, saying he is God's true son. Don't you know it may be so? I've looked into his eyes. Who, tell me, who is this man? Who is this man? Do you know who he could be? The people say he loves them and he longs to set them free. I've seen him once or twice and I know that he loves me. Who, tell me, who is this man? Who is this man that they've nailed upon the cross? And what did he do to die? I know we'll suffer loss. Now there's darkness falling in the land and thunder fills the air. Who, tell me, who is this man? Now they take him down, cause he's died and gone away. But as he hung in agony, I thought I heard him say, Father, please forgive them, for they know not what they do. Who was this man? Can you tell me who? 3 days have come and gone since the good man died. Many a time I've wondered, just as often I have cried. But when I look inside, I know I'll never be the same. Who was this man? Did you catch his name? Now I'm going down the road, but my head is bended low. Life seems so sad now, cause I love that good man so. Who is this man walking up to me? Oh, my Lord, he is the Lord, he is the Lord. He is risen from the dead, and he is Lord. Oh, Jesus, did you come back for me? He is the Lord, he is the Lord, he is the Lord, he is the Lord. He is risen from the dead, and he's the Lord. Oh, Jesus, did you come back for me? He is the Lord. He is the Lord. Well, that kind of perhaps gives the whole point of asking who Jesus is, kind of gives the point away, doesn't it? We've kind of skipped to the the end, and yes, he is the Lord. But Epiphany season is progressive revelation, so we'll go with that. Well, here we are. First Advent, the season of anticipation, of grounding our hearts and minds in prophetic utterances that point ahead to better times, a glorious future, and even to a remaking of heaven and earth. And then Christmas, the season of awe, grounding our hearts and minds in the fact, the irrefutable, non-negotiable, non-erasable fact that God entered his creation, that the Creator entered the creation he had made to remake fallen mankind in God's own unfallen, unerasable, imperishable image. And because he lives, I shall live also. Because he is in the image of God, I too shall bear his image. Because he lives, you shall live also. Because he lives, you also shall one day perfectly bear his image. You say, this is getting pretty good. I think we can go home now. We've got a message. But there's more. Because Christ reigns and is seated in glory at the right hand of the Father, I too shall reign. We don't often confess things like that in church. We tend to confess the other side of things, the imperfect side, the sort of waiting upon God side. But this too is Scripture. This too is the Gospel. That because Christ reigns, you too shall reign in glory forever. Does the Scripture not say that the saints shall judge angels? It surely does. So we don't know exactly what reigning means, but we know we're going to be on the top and not on the bottom, don't we? And we know it's a wonderful thing that the mind can barely grasp, that God hasn't just forgiven sons of Adam, but he's raised them up as new creatures, as sons and daughters of the living God, and given us a future that's hard to imagine. So here we are, Epiphany, the great season of revelation. Like other seasons in the church year, we learn much about Epiphany, not primarily through dry propositions, but through storytelling. For storytelling has been the way of cultures teaching themselves about important things since time immemorial. And God has entered in to our storytelling, and his story is the great story. We tell ourselves, we remind ourselves the stories that the Bible tells. And so I want to ask you this. At the level of storytelling, what are the stories we think of when we think of Epiphany? Now we know at Christmas what story we think of, don't we? Jesus in the manger. What about Epiphany? Sounds a little vaguer. And in fact, the two great church traditions of East and West have different focuses. The Western Church, we focus on the journey of the three wise men. I said three. That's not actually accurate. The wise men. The Bible doesn't say how many. We focus on the wise men and the revelation that God gave them that the star of the Messiah had risen and they went and worshipped him. In the East, they focus on Jesus' baptism.
And we sing that hymn on Jordan's bank, don't we? On Jordan's bank. They focus on the baptism. Probably because God the Father speaks at that moment and says, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Epiphany. We need epiphany to enter into our hearts. So we think about the wise men, we think perhaps about Jordan's banks, and then we begin to stretch a little bit and think, there must be some other things in there. Well, we'll see as we go through Epiphany that there are. There may just be some turning of water into wine. I don't want to give it away, but it might happen during Epiphany. So you'll have to stay tuned and join with us. From there it gets murky. In today's second lesson, we have a rather gentle Epiphany story of Jesus at the age of 12. Now, who do we have here that's at the age of 12 or close to it? We have double digits here. Who has double digits in their age? How old are you guys? He's 12. Would you stand up and just let everybody else see? They've never seen what a 12-year-old looks like before. Turn around. Take a bow. We'll give him a hand. There he is. That's exactly what Jesus looked like at the age of 12. Take a picture. Well, the point here, there's a number of points, of course, but one of the points is an ancient biography, which is what the Gospels are. They're forms of ancient biography. The biographers might start with a spectacular, even supernatural birth, but then they would fast forward to the person as a full-blown adult. They were interested in what the person did and accomplished. So it's quite a beautiful thing to see Luke sandwiching in Jesus at the age of 12 and breaking the mold of ancient biography. That's one thing. And we learn that he goes with his family to Jerusalem, which is no ordinary city, but it's called both the City of David and the City of God. And he goes to the temple of God, for God dwelt in the temple in Jerusalem. Last Epiphany season, I invited you to take a Gentile journey. Today I invite you to take a Jewish journey, because this may startle some of you. You may not have known this. Did you know that Jesus' parents were Jewish? Did y'all know that? We sometimes think, really? Because we have sort of Gentilized culturally much of the gospel. But his parents were thoroughly Jewish, and so was Jesus. And there he is at a boy of 12. They're going to the great city of Jerusalem where God dwelt to participate in services. And they fulfill their obligations and they perform their worship. And now it's time to turn around and head back. We have some visitors here today from... Where are you from? Las Cruces?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, so you're here now. But there will come a time, won't there, when it's time to turn around and head back. We've all been there and done that. And Jesus and his parents were part of an entourage. And it's a little bit like Home Alone. Everybody thought Jesus was with somebody. And they go a whole day and they sort of camp down for the night. They weren't wealthy, so it was probably Motel 6. And they start looking around, and who's the guy's name in Home Alone? Kevin. Kevin? Yeah, and they say, where's Kevin? And cool. And so, as you can imagine, where's Jesus? They rush back, and they hear that where Jesus is. They find where Jesus is, and guess what? He's not at the mall playing video games. Can you believe that? He's not at the movies. He's not at the Apple store looking at the, you know, he says, Father in heaven, I really think I could use an Apple Watch here to, you know, keep track of my blood pressure when the Pharisees are on my case. He's in the temple. He wasn't compelled to be in the temple, but there he was, his father's house. And in the language of the King James Version, which many of us know, when his parents come to him and say, "What are you doing here?" And he says, "Wist ye not, I must be about my father's business." Don't you know, I must be about my father's business and doing what my father does. And so here we see this wonderful revelation, part psychological, part spiritual, that Jesus at the age of 12 knew that God was his father. And not just as a metaphor, not just as a sort of a religious construct, God was the father of Jesus Christ. God fathered Jesus Christ. And Jesus, the lad of 12, knew it. And he seems to say it quite naturally and not self-consciously. It doesn't seem like he's sort of trying to be religious here. He's just being himself. My father. He knew who his father was, but was he self-conscious enough to know how this would sound to his hearers when he spoke thus? It's hard to say. And so the epiphany was perhaps first to the doctors of the law when he was with them and asking them questions and giving his own responses and insights. They were amazed at him, but so were his parents. And so there's an ongoing revelation even to Mary, the mother of Jesus, about who is this boy? Christmas, who is this baby? Age of 12, who is this boy? Age of 30, who is this man? And then, of course, there is the epiphany to our own hearts as well, as we hear the music, the hymns, the anthems, as we hear the sermons, as we read scripture. Who is this man, Jesus Christ? The God who was incarnate at Bethlehem was growing in his humanity and developing, and it was now a strapping lad of 12. The next time we see him, he will be a mature man of 30, ready to take on the world and to be the world's savior. The savior of the world was present. It's like D-Day. The birth of Christ is like D-Day. The Son of God is on the ground. And he's marshaling his troops and getting ready. At about the age of 30, he will be revealed on Jordan's banks. And this epiphany that has come to prophets and priests and kings, Gentile magi, doctors of the law, crowds along the shores of Galilee, crowds in Jerusalem, comes to us today through his Holy Spirit in the epiphany season. O come, let us adore him. Amen.